Okay, well, good morning and welcome to our St. Richard's morning service. My name's Trish Scobell, which I think you all know. Another benefit of knowing who's in the seats is there aren't any newcomers, but a welcome to all of you. It's a joy to be back in the building. It was a joy to be back last week, and it's a joy again and a blessing to be able to come back and meet again. If you weren't here last week, we hope that you'll soon feel comfortable with the way that we're doing things for now. There's nothing as good as being together to worship together. So it's great that we're able to meet in the building. Before we begin our time of worship, I've just got a few church family notices for us. It was, as I said, a joy to be back in the building last week with those that were able to come. And thank you to everybody who's taken time to write and encourage us for being able to be together again. That's meant a great deal to everyone who's been trying to set this up and make it work. So thank you so much for that. Things are not as they were and not as we want them to be, but we're back together and we're worshipping here in our St. Richard's building. So praise God for that. One brief piece of news is that from next Sunday, we're planning to have a live musician lead us in our sung worship. So David or Marilyn or Sue or whoever would normally be able to sit and play guitar. And we're hoping to be able to have a clear screen that will keep them contained so they can't escape. But that will be another addition to coming back on Sundays, and we're really excited about that. We hope you are too. Anything that we can do to make it feel more normal. Lunchtime prayers for St. Richard's this week via Zoom. That's on Wednesday at 12 for around half an hour. And then we have our monthly prayer meeting, which is coming up on the 3rd of September. That's the 3rd of September, Thursday evening, 7:45 on Zoom. So have a look at the newsletter for the Zoom link for that. We won't be taking a collection as in handing round a bag, as you can imagine, but there is a collection plate as you leave. So if you would like to give to the work of the church, then that's your time and place to do it. And finally, we want to encourage you as a church family to keep together, keep in touch, and where safe to do so, keep meeting and sharing and praying together. The church is the people. We are family. And so as we begin our service, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we come together today to worship and praise you, we want this time to bless you, our great and mighty Lord. Would our words and thoughts be pleasing to you? And would you accept all we give to you of ourselves today? Amen. As we're here together before God, the God of the universe, it's a great opportunity to say something together as a family in praise of God our Father. So why don't we say together in quiet voices some words from Psalm 108. These are words that David, King David, was able to write with confidence in his God, our God. So the words are up on the screen. Let's say them together. My heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Wonderful words. And now, by the magic of pre-recording for this week at least, Dave Latimore will lead us in a song, which, although we can't sing aloud, please feel free to whisper the words under your masks, to sway, raise hands, do whatever you feel comfortable in worshipping God, or just do as I sometimes do. I'm sometimes just still and silent, but just bursting with love for my Lord as I just absorb those words. So why don't we stand if we're able to, and we'll sing together in some form with Dave. Now we come to our all-age slot. It might feel more like it's a younger age slot, but it'll be great if we can all join in. So in the last week, we had an all-age reflection on a verse from the Apostles' Creed, which is something we say to express what we believe as Christians. And Ben helped us to understand what it means when we say, "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." This week, we're going to be looking at the part of the Apostles' Creed which says, "He will come to judge the living and the dead." Now, we each have different roles, and I don't mean cheese rolls or ham rolls that you have in your lunchbox, but roles of different things that we do, say, at work or with our family. So, hands up if you are a parent. Okay, hands up if you're a child. Adults, you also need to put your hand up at this point. Hands up if you're a breadwinner. You earn the money in the house, or you earn the most money in the house. Well done, breadwinners. Hands up if you're a student, a pupil at school. Yeah, quite a few students and pupils at school. Hands up if you're a toddler or a preschooler. Jessie, it's your big moment. Hands up if you're a brother. You're a brother. Hands up if you're a sister. Okay, great. Well, we have lots of different roles, don't we? Some of us put our hands up more than once. Some of us go to school. We also have brothers. We can be different things and we can have different roles. Well, let's think about who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Here are some questions. So let's listen first, and then I'll ask you to raise your hand again, because we're not allowed to shout out answers as much as tempting as that is. Do you think Jesus is, wait for it, do you think Jesus is a son or a daughter? Raise your hand if you think Jesus is a son. Okay. Raise your hands if you think Jesus is a daughter. Very good. That's right. Jesus is God's son and his mother is called Mary. Do you think, this is the second question, do you think Jesus is a sister or a brother? Again, raise your hands if you think Jesus is a brother. Very good. A sister? Okay. Fairly easy at the moment, aren't they? Okay, third question. Do you think Jesus is just an ordinary person like us or a rescuer and saviour? So, hands up if you think he's just an ordinary person. Okay, rescue and saviour? Well done. Okay, well, here's a question. Where's Jesus now? Where is Jesus today? Do you think he's dead and buried in a grave somewhere? Or alive in heaven and on his throne? So hands up, dead and buried in a grave. Gosh, we are doing well, especially the children, especially the adults. Or do we think he's alive and on his throne? Yes, that's right. Jesus is alive and in heaven and on his throne. And who sits on a throne? Can you show me with an action? Children, is it a bunny rabbit that sits on a throne or a king who sits on a throne? Bethany! Bethany, you need to go home and have a chat with Daddy. It's a king who sits on the throne. That's right. So Jesus is king. He's the king of the universe. Well, we haven't covered everything about Jesus, but I do want to do one more. When Jesus comes again, Jesus will come as what? And it's not Brian May in his old age for you people. What will Jesus come again as? Well, Jesus will come again as a judge. And David is our judge today, so that we can remember this. When Jesus came to earth the first time, he came as a saviour and rescuer. The Bible tells us when he comes again, he will come as a judge. And the Apostles' Creed says that Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. A judge, Jesus will judge people. Everyone who's ever lived, all the people still alive, and when he comes back, and all the people who've ever lived in the whole of history, the living and the dead, will all be judged by Jesus. Wow, that's a lot to take in. Judge Buck, you may remove your wig and be seated. On the day Jesus comes back, we will get a thumbs up or a thumbs down from Jesus. The Bible tells us that we'll get a thumbs up if we're trusting in Jesus now, and a thumbs down if we're not. Everyone trusting in Jesus now will be given a thumbs up, and Jesus will say, come to my forever party. It'll be the best party ever. And when we go to Jesus' party, Jesus will also look to see how much we've lived our lives for him. Did we love him with all our hearts? Did we love him with all our strength? Did we love him with all our toys and hobbies? How and how we used them? Did we love him with all our money and how we used that? Did we love him with every bit of our lives in every way? Jesus will judge us on whether or not we trust him now. A thumbs up or a thumbs down. And Jesus will also judge everyone who trusts in him on how much we've lived our lives for him. We'll still be able to come to Jesus' party forever or forever party if we're trusting in him now. But somehow Jesus' party will be even more special for us if we've lived for him with every bit of our lives. Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. That's what Christians believe. We're all going to stand in a moment. If you're a Christian and you're trusting in the Lord Jesus, however old or young you are, do join in with what we believe, or what you believe. Why don't we stand together and say the Apostles' Creed and think carefully about the words we're saying. The words are up on the screen for us. Together we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please take your seat. How often we forget that God is all those things and that we've just declared with our mouths. We catch ourselves living as though those things weren't true. We grieve our Heavenly Father when we fail to live fully as his son or daughter. And so let's come humbly before him now and confess our sins. And again, the words will come up on the screen. Let's say together, Lord, have mercy on us according to your steadfast love, and in your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Cleanse us from our sin, create in us a clean heart and life, and continually renew a right spirit within us. Amen. And so some words of encouragement from John 1. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and there is no truth in us. But if we confess our sins to God, he will keep his promise and do what is right. He will forgive our sins and purify us from all wrongdoing. In a moment, I'll read our Bible passage and then David Buck will preach to us, followed by Sue and Phil, who will lead us in our prayers. And so let's pray for this time now in God's word. Lord God, there is no love like yours, no words like yours. Help us now to listen well and be changed by your Son Jesus as we do so, that our new lives may reflect him and be lived for your glory. Amen. So if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. That's Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And this is taken, I've taken this from our usual church Bible, which is the ESV. You may have a different translation with you. And that doesn't change what original scripture has said. It's just a different way of expressing it. So bear with if you've got a different translation, but it's you can follow along. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. On one occasion, while the crowd were pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your words I will let down the nets." And when he'd done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signalled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they'd taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they'd brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him.
Well, it's lovely to be here. And it's a bit strange, isn't it? I'm sort of reminded there was a TV programme when I was young, which was a long time ago, something about the Mask of Zorro, I seem to remember, and Cape Crusaders, and it all feels a bit like that, doesn't it? A bit like a film set. But here we are, and it's great to be meeting together to worship God. I'd like to pray. I need that before we go any further, so why don't we do that now? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for protecting us, but above all, we thank you, Father, for the gift of life, eternal, everlasting life in the Lord Jesus. We praise you for him. We thank you for him. All our hope is in him. But we pray now you'd help us to listen. Help me, please, to be clear in explaining this part of your word. In his name, amen. Can you hear all right? Can you hear? Great, okay. Well, I can remember a number of times growing up, maybe you can too, when I realised I was wrong big time and that I was in serious trouble. That sinking feeling, you know, butterflies in your stomach and getting weak at the knees and thinking, what is going to happen to me? And this story here, I think, is about realizing the overwhelming truth that all of us naturally are completely in the wrong with God. And why facing up to that is actually a very good thing. And Luke has told us, back in chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus has just begun his ministry, and in the synagogue at Nazareth, Jesus announces his mission statement. The Spirit of the Lord, he says, is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. See, Jesus' mission is to bring good news to people who are captive to sin, people who are blind to truth, and people who know they're spiritually oppressed. And here now in verse 3 in our reading, we see the crowd is pressing in on Jesus. Pressing in on him to hear the word of God. Jesus is doing exactly what he said he came to do, proclaiming good news to poor sinners. And you remember the rest of the story, I'm sure. Jesus borrows Peter's fishing boat to teach crowds on the shore, all lined up there. And now he tells Peter to take his boat out and fish. And he promises Peter it'll be worth it. But Peter's the expert, isn't he? Peter knows the lake. Peter's been fishing probably all his adult life or more, and Peter the expert is sceptical. But it seems he's impressed enough with Jesus to do what he says, and the result is utterly astonishing. And it is, isn't it, verse 6. When they'd done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. Now, I'm sure John Scobell will tell you that that is a miracle. Is that right, John?
Yeah.
And the catch is so large that they begin to sink two boats. This is unheard of, isn't it? But what Luke, who wrote the story, wants us to notice, first of all, I think, is how this affected Peter. Simon Peter, verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. Now that's another extraordinary thing, isn't it? Peter reacting like this. I think Luke's showing us that Jesus reveals the Holy God to sinners. Jesus reveals the Holy God to sinners. He reveals to sinful people how holy God really is and what big trouble that means that we are in. I think it seems Peter's thinking something like this. If Jesus knows all about the lake and everything in it, he must know all about me and what I'm really like inside. And actually, Peter, I hadn't realised this, but it's there, it's obvious, isn't it? Peter reacts like the prophet Isaiah did. I'm sure you know that too. Most of us will remember Isaiah 6, when Isaiah's called to serve the Lord. And he's given a vision of God when he's in the temple, and it's so overwhelming that he cries out, like Peter, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And Isaiah and Peter actually react like all the other people in the Bible when they see who God really is. And in the New Testament, it's who Jesus really is. And when they do, they're overcome by a sense of their own sinfulness and they fall down on their knees. And what does that mean for us this morning? Well, Jesus came to take away our spiritual blindness. He came to reveal the Holy God to us. When people today see who Jesus really is, like Peter, they're convicted of their own sin and guilt. And we realise that we are spiritually poor, that we are blind, naturally. We are oppressed and we are captive to sin. That's our natural state. And we feel we're not just not fit to be anywhere near God. And we feel compelled, like Peter, to confess that. And I hope you won't mind me asking, do you know that verdict is true of you? Do you know that? That's the reality. Have you seen it? Have you confessed your sinfulness and unworthiness to God? And if not, that now would be a good day to do that, wouldn't it? Because facing up to God's verdict on us and confessing our sinfulness wholeheartedly, like Peter, falling down before Jesus and saying, like him in our own words, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful person." Well, it means amazingly, and it is amazing, Jesus effectively opens the door and welcomes us in to be friends with him. And that's what happens here. And that's the second thing to notice. Jesus welcomes sinners. Jesus welcomes sinners to help him in his mission. I think that's astonishing, actually. I was so excited when I saw that. I've been reading this for about 40 or 50 years. I've never really seen it. So exciting. But that's the second thing to notice. Jesus welcomes sinners to help him in his mission. It seems so unlikely, doesn't it? But it's true. So have a look at Jesus' response to Peter. See verse 10 if you've got it there. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men, men and women." Instead of sending Peter away because he's so unworthy, Jesus responds to Simon Peter's confession by welcoming him to come with Jesus in his ministry of telling the good news to other poor sinners. Peter's still going to be fishing, but now it's going to be for people. If you've seen Les Miserables, or as we know it, Les Mis, there's a book, there's a musical, there's even an opera, I think, and there's a film. I think there are two films. So I guess a number of us have probably seen it. Well, I think one of the most heart-wrenching scenes, and there are lots of them in the story, is when the beggar, Jean Valjean, is caught stealing the bishop's candlesticks. He's so desperate that he steals the bishop's candlesticks at night, and when he's caught, he thinks he's done for. He thinks that's it. But instead of handing him over to the police, the bishop insists that the candlesticks are a gift to Jean, and he gives him other valuables to take as well. So unexpected. I remember seeing it for the first time and thinking, wow, oof, what a relief. It's something like that, but multiplied millions of times when we realize how sinful we are and we feel we've really got to run away from God. But no, amazingly, instead, Jesus welcomes us to come with him in his mission. So as we finish, it's really no wonder, is it? Verse 11. When they brought their boats to land, Peter and his companions left everything, left it all there, and followed Jesus. And I think this is it really proves that it's genuine. And it tells us whether our faith is genuine too. Do you know something of that feeling of following Jesus, being on his side, and just doing what we can? We're not apostles. We're not called to do exactly what the apostles did here, but doing what we can in his mission to bring God's good news to other poor sinners is such a privilege. Have you glimpsed that? That it's actually worth more than anything in this world. It really is. Why don't we just pray to know more of that? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the stories of Jesus. We thank you that they amaze us, that they are astonishing. We thank you for the wonder of your forgiveness. We pray that we would each know that. We pray that we would turn to you. And if we need to again, that we would turn to you again. And Lord, we pray that you give us joy in doing what we can to bring your good news to other poor sinners. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage that David's explained to us in Luke, and how it reminds us of Simon Peter and the other disciples, how they left everything to follow you. Lord, this challenges us. We want to deepen our faith, but we do struggle at times. Spiritual blindness can be a problem. And we want to be more like Jesus and to recognise that we need to die to ourselves. Dear God, like Peter, help us to see ourselves as you see us, so we might know what we must leave behind in order to move forward in our faith. So that each day, Father, you show us who it is you want us to help, to support, and to share our faith with. In the name of Jesus, amen. God of all wisdom, we pray for our leaders at this time. The World Health Organization, national governments, and local leaders too. The heads of schools, hospitals, and other public services. Since you've placed these people in public service for this time of the COVID-19 pandemic, we ask you to grant them wisdom beyond their own wisdom to contain this virus, and faith beyond their own faith to fight the fear, and strength beyond their own strength to sustain vital institutions through this time of turmoil. God of all wisdom and counsel, you are all powerful and all merciful. May this be our prayer. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear God. We will not fear COVID-19, but trust in you. Amen.
Now, dear Father, we bring to you the children and young people in our church family as they prepare to return to school. We ask for your protection over them as their journey in life continues. Use our children to shine your light to those around them, so that those who don't know you will come to know you, and those who know you will build a stronger relationship with you. We pray, Lord Jesus, that they will not be worried about this journey, but will fly, knowing that they are held in your hands and that you are their refuge and strength. Amen. God of all comfort and counsel, we pray for those who are grieving or reeling from the sudden loss of a loved one or need your help and support at this time. We pray that they will find your fellowship in their suffering, your comfort in their loss, and your hope in their despair. In a time of quiet now, we think of those we know who are vulnerable and scared, the frail, the sick, and the elderly. God of all comfort, you are powerful and merciful. We set our hope on you, that you will continue to protect us. Amen. And now we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, thank you, Sue and Phil, and thank you, David. Dave Latimer is now going to lead us in our last song, which will come up on the screen. So as you stand together if you can. Sorry for the delay, that's me getting carried away with the song. Where am I? It's been wonderful to worship together. That brings us to the end of our service. So can I just remind you that we need to leave the building one unit at a time. We need to go via the back entrance. There's hand sanitizer there again if you'd like to use it. If you can wait for me just to tell you when you can go, and Dick will gently usher you to keep going so the next people can move along safely. I know you want to chat more, but can we hold that until Zoom coffee at 11:45, and then you can let rip and chat as much as you like, but for now we need to keep moving off of the church premises. Thank you for that. And so a final blessing using 1 Thessalonians 5. Go in peace, be very courageous. Hold on to what is good. Do not return evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honour all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Amen.